This recording, England 109, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onuroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory. So she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit and headed for work. When she got there, there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising, because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, "Comma! Comma," which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Comma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her. But Sarah had a different idea. First, she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire. So Sarah was able to hold on to Comma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. I can't imagine paying so much, but Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure.
Ever since I can remember, I've always put on silly voices, accents, made up silly things to say, songs, to amuse the people around me. And when I started working, I met a man, my friend, who felt very same. I'd start doing a silly accent and he'd join in, or he'd start doing something silly and I'd join in, and we became firm friends. And we started a writing partnership and we wanted to do a 1940s noir detective because we really enjoyed noir films, but we wanted to make it more of a comedy. So we wrote a script for a pilot episode, if you'd like to call it that, that we'd release as a podcast, 10 minutes long, and there was just the two of us, but we had about 8 characters, so we all had to double up and do silly character voices. And I really wanted to find out, because it's 1940s noir detective, they speak really fast, but you know, it's sort of West Coast American. I wanted to find out what West Coast American actually sounded like, because is my version of West Coast American any good? Probably not, having grown up in Yorkshire. So I came on and I found the IDEA, and it had fantastic samples of different people from around the world, which is ideal for what we wanted. And I listened to the people from Los Angeles, California, and decided I wasn't that far off, actually, with what I was doing. So that was quite good. And then, you know, having listened to a few other people from around the world, I thought maybe I'd submit myself. So here we go. This is my accent. I grew up in Yorkshire. I've lived in Yorkshire my whole life. I've travelled around the world, but not for any extended periods of time. So I don't think I've picked up any various straight accents or anything. I suppose these days people watch a lot of American TV, and so it's easier to pick up some Americanisms, but I don't think it's anything that affects the actual accent. Many people have commented on how broad my accent is, but when you're in your community and everybody speaks the same, nobody notices, you know. Apart from when people are really slovenly and they drop the T's. A joke we have where I work, because I work in data, it was a colleague and she always pronounces it data. That's how we say it, data. But really it's data. So there you go.